Wow, we are back, and it's recording.
Kung Fu Theater.
Yes, welcome.
Welcome.
My name's Mao, with me as always.
Dr. Morbius.
From Parts Unknown, and this is the glorious new venture called Kung Fu Theater.
Dr. Here. Morbius Lee.
Yeah, yes, sure, why not? And other lies. And this is the podcast or the show where we talk, we do kind of a deep dive into one kung fu movie and talk about other stuff kung fu related.
Yes.
I was thinking about like which movie I'm going to choose next. I have to throw that disclaimer out that we're not going to be kung fu purists in that I'm going to have samurai movies,
sure.
And I'm going to have some, sure, Japanese movies. Because some people would be like, no, kung fu is only from China, only those exports, and that's not our life.
I would expect you to do one-armed swordsman or...
Because I was thinking
stuff
about,
like Super Chan.
I was thinking about doing Eight Mystical Samurai or something like that. I forget the name of it.
I'm waiting for the Flying Guillotine, you know?
We already did that for Slow Robot a Go-Go.
Did we do it?
Yeah. Okay, yeah, and that's right. The one where I was just gushing over it. Like, this is the greatest thing ever.
Aren't there two Flying Guillotine movies?
Mm-hmm. Master of the Flying Guillotine, and then there's like... I forget what the other one is, but it's the one that you go, oh, this isn't the one I wanted to watch.
Yeah, we should do, oh, this is the one we didn't want to watch.
Because you think, you're like, I can't wait for the master. Wait a minute, this isn't the right one. Boo to you, sir. That's what I always say.
Yeah, well, you know.
Well, going into today's movie, I have to ask, I almost wanted to kind of make some kind of a law that maybe the movies we pick should be movies. I don't know.
I did enjoy this movie.
I don't consider what you chose to be an actual movie. It was more of a casserole of nonsense, as it
yes,
were.
Yes, as we all know and that I love.
I didn't know really how to put that, but I was like, maybe we should pick movies that are actual movies.
No,
like,
you're asking a little too much.
I know.
I'm going to go off the deep end.
Like Grease 2 and like Highlander 2.
Yeah.
Those aren't movies. People
not,
say they're movies. They're not technically movies.
They're not technically movies.
They're actually like what comes out of a trash compactor or like a garbage thing, garbage chute, and someone just filled it. Well, that.
So see, I didn't even like Grease 1 or Highlander 1. So what?
You didn't like
I
Highlander?
Know?
Well, that's
no,
weird.
I saw that in the movie theater, and me and my friend were heckling the
wow.
movie. We were hecklers back then. We were the original riff tracks in theaters, and people would go shut up, and we like wouldn't stop. It's a bad thing.
It is a bad thing.
I don't do it anymore. Now you get shot.
You were the original
it.
Texters texting during a movie.
Worse than that. We were horrible.
Yeah, I don't know. See, I actually liked the Highlander 1. Two was woof. That's more of like the kind of movies we watch now. It's just crazy. It's nonsense. It's crazy.
There was these things like in Highlander 1. Sean Connery was like some Spanish guy with a Scottish accent. How'd that happen?
He was on Earth so long that it was like a second revolution of Earth. Like, at first he was the Scotsman, but then he was from Spain or whatever, and I'm a Spanish peacock. Well, and two, they became space aliens, so who even cares?
And in the first one, Christopher Lambert... Everywhere he went, he brought like dry ice with him.
He was rocking it.
They were like throwing this like atmosphere, and it's like, okay, just stop for a second. You know, the guy's in the John. You don't need dry ice.
Maybe
you
don't understand the glory that is Highlander with Christopher Lambert.
Anyhow.
What are we talking about here?
We're talking about Bruce Kung Fu Girls, or I think it's also known as Five Pretty Young Ladies.
Bruce Kung Fu Girls.
Bruce Kung Fu Girl. Bruce comma Kung Fu Girls.
Just.
Now you know.
Marinate on that title for a couple seconds.
Now you know. When you hear a title like that, you know what it's kind of going to be. So,
a casserole of nonsense is what it's going
to
be.
Which is what I describe life as. But, you know, I'm not to be too philosophical, but anyway.
Yes.
I'll be honest with you.
It'd be funny if people turned to us for philosophical debate. I'd be like, wow, you were on the wrong channel, my friend.
I think, therefore, I am.
I fart, therefore, I am.
Yeah, that too.
Anyway,
so here's how I know about this movie. I was staying over a friend's house, and he's got a bunch of VHS Kung Fu. And
for those of you at home, Dr. Morbius just threw his arms out like somebody describing a fish they caught.
Like a shark.
Bunch. Like, it's like, wow, the vast expansion of this collection.
Never ending.
It really is. Is it like,
yeah, it's
one
huge.
Of serious hardcore.
It's
like,
huge.
Huge, man. That's awesome.
So like right in the front was this movie called Bruce Kung Fu Girls, and I'm like, hey, what's this? He goes, I haven't watched it yet. And I was like, I was always intrigued by this movie. Yes. I was like, okay, well, you know, it's got, I always like the fighting women movie. I go, okay.
And, you know, me too. I'm all about the
heroic,
you know,
trio,
the Kung Fu girls, you know. I'm always about, you know.
So I'm like, okay, well, you know, I do a Kung Fu theater now, so.
So give me that.
Yeah. It's free. It's on YouTube, Wu-Tang Collection. I go, okay, well, now we're going to do Bruce Kung Fu Girls. I know it's going to be goofy as all get out, but I'm expecting it. And I'm like, okay. First thing is, I really do think that the lead actress, Polly Kwan.
Yeah.
She was in a lot of movies.
Oh, she's a great martial artist.
She's really good. I never knew about her before.
Yeah, no.
She's good.
And she is the...
And she had belts, too. She had a black belt in karate.
Oh, no. She... Yeah, no. She is a serious contender. Yeah. And she is the only one of these girls.
Yeah, the only one. And guys, I think.
All the rest of them are just kind of standing around looking pretty while someone else whoops a lot of butt. And you're like, wow. And you could tell right at the beginning, she really goes. Like, she is, like, throwing kicks and punches. And these are that not flowery, pretty stuff.
She's a real deal.
She has intention to hurt you right from the get-go. And it is immediate, you know.
She's not doing one-on-one. She's, like, going out five dudes.
Straight up. Swinging, kicking.
Yakuza or whatever.
Well, what happens, how we get introduced to these kung fu gals, they're chasing some... Now, here's the thing. The plot of this...
This is sci-fi too, by the way. There's an invisible man in here.
Yeah, there's an invisible man who stole some money, and this guy who might know the formula is getting chased by gangsters or something.
And he runs into the girls' locker room.
He runs into their, like, where they're swimming,
the changing room.
And she, first appearance of is in this scene.
There you go.
For all of you at home, I have just started. My hypothesis has now launched.
Kung Fu Girls did that for you.
So she gets up and is like, hey, no boys allowed. And he's like, because there's gangsters chasing him. And then they come running in and they're like, get out of the way, you girl.
With those great like gangster accents that from Hong Kong, done by Australians.
And the late 60s, early 70s was a glorious time for Hong Kong fashion. And, they had this mixture of greaser and, like, disco and hipster.
It's beautiful.
It was insane.
It's beautiful.
I don't know what they dress like now. I'm assuming the internet has probably muddled everything and it just looks like everyone else. But back then, a lot of the Western cultures kind of pick and chose what they thought was cool from various stages of various countries. And just put them in a blender and dumped them over themselves. And this is no...
I think this is a Taiwan movie, but I'm not 100% sure. But anyway, they got that beautiful, like, 60s, 70s. We're not there yet, but we like some of it.
Yeah.
And we're mutating
lots
it.
Lots of polyester. Lots of...
70s is polyester.
Dude, oh,
I rocked the polyester, okay? I personally...
Did you have a medallion that said, like, male?
I wish I did. No, I had no medallions, but I did rock.
I was too poor for a medallion.
I did have the print shirts, you know, with whatever, you know, with polyester pants, the stretchy polyester, which my mom loved because you didn't have to, like, you know, iron them or anything like that. You just throw them in there and they're done.
So basically,
I even had this is how horrible it was. I even had polyester fake jeans. Okay, they were like these brown fake jeans, but they were polyester.
Wow.
I rocked polyester for many years.
Yes, you did.
Before cotton came into my life.
Before corduroy came in.
I rocked the corduroy.
I had corduroy.
I had corduroy bell bottoms, dude. Bell bottoms.
Okay, listeners out there, one moment. We're going to take a quick break. I want you to just sit back and kind of ponder. Take in the glory that is Dr. Morbius with bell bottom polyester.
That's right.
Or bell bottom corduroy. Or... the jean-printed polyester pants. Your choice.
Yep.
And we'll be right back with picking up with the Kung Bruce,
Big sideburns, too.
Well, mutton chops and sideburns. Those just rock any era.
Yeah.
I always think about getting those... I used to have those little pointy ones, and I shaved them off. I should rock that again.
You should get a beard like what's that? The Deadliest Man Alive, Count... what's that guy's name? He was in the comic books.
Count Dooku.
No,
that's Star Wars.
We'll tell you later.
Yeah, we'll tell you
Let's
later.
Let's take a break before
we'll be right back. Corduroys, bro.
Now the ultimate evil, Devil Woman, summoned from the cores of hell to curse the living. No one is safe from her slithery serpents of doom. Devil Woman takes you into a realm seldom open to human eyes. The cave of the mystic cult rituals of the Brotherhood of Satan will strip your nerves screamingly raw. To keep your mind from snapping, you have to keep telling yourself it's only a movie. You may not believe in the supernatural, but you cannot deny terror. Scream, no one will hear you. Run, and the silent footsteps will follow. The dead are restless, and they live again. Devil Woman. The Devil Woman has a voluptuous body and soft silken skin that drives men wild. The kiss of death. The meanest mothers that ever walked the face of the earth take on the sinister sister of Satan. And the kung fu battles, the unspeakable evil in a fight to the death. Devil Woman, listen for the laughter that has no sound. Watch for the face that's formed by shadows. Devil Woman, she's there, waiting, watching. Beware the eyes that paralyze. The Devil Woman invites you to share a living nightmare of the bizarre. This is a film that will stretch your eyes. Devil Woman, don't cross her path unless you're tired of living in cursed color.
Oh, behave. Yeah. Yeah, baby. Yeah.
And who was that?
Count Dante.
Count Dante.
The deadliest man alive.
The deadliest hairdresser alive.
Yeah, look him up on the internet. You'll remember him from many comic books. And I think there's a documentary too.
You'll be glad you did. Anyway, on back to our movie.
Rockin' the Corduroy.
Rockin' the Cord, which is also... Okay, so then back to it.
Back to whatever the movie is.
Comma, Kung Fu Girls.
Or Five Pretty Young Ladies.
Five Pretty Young Ladies. So they kind of come in. They, like I said, the gangsters and this guy are in the middle of... they're chasing him. He runs into this pool where these girls are all in bathing suits, one-piece bathing suits, and also...
they got the hair...
they have those, like, flowery hair...
protector. Helmets.
Yeah, hair helmets kind of thing.
So, and those are awesome. Those are pure 60s and 70s.
They look homely in this scene because they have robes and these things and slippers... And she immediately goes, you better get out of here, and starts whooping butt. And
yeah,
she beats up the guy. Then she beats up the guy who was running. Then she beats up some of the other guys, and they're pulling guns and knives. And she's just knocking them down and whipping them around. And, of course, some are ending up in the pool because that's what happens when there's a pool in a shot.
Yeah, of course. And the other girls are just like, laughing, and one of them gets bonked in the head.
And cries. One of them has, like, little girl pigtails. And she's supposed to be like the emotionally unintelligent one, whatever you want to say. Like, she's a goofball.
Yeah, she's a
goofball. Little, like, girly.
Comic relief.
Yeah, comic relief. And, but they're like, and you can tell right off the bat, she is serious. She's a serious martial artist. And, eventually the head guy who was wearing big sunglasses and, like, had, like, that long trench coat over, like, a cape kind of.
Yeah,
like, he didn't have his arms through the arms. He just had it pulled up over, like...
yeah, like the Godfather.
And he's like, oh, we're very... he stops at all the action and goes, we're very sorry. You know, don't let us bother you again. And he goes, get out of here, you crumb bums. And so... and that's where comes up. Because she indignantly goes, let's go, girls. And then they turn around and stomp out.
That's number one.
Like, I'm including the first three as zeros. Because I have to chart what we gave it. And when the humph arrives.
Okay. Right.
If all you missed my theory in, like, I think it was show two or three.
Yeah.
I have a theory that I'm going to expound upon throughout this show. The earlier in a kung fu movie, a kung fu girl goes, either at the protagonist or whatever about something, I think the better the movie. Now, this one
threw you for a
loop. No, this might mean... the sooner the worse the movie. I don't know where this hypothesis is going to lead me. Let's just say I'm going to follow it for you and for me.
Yeah.
So there it is. My hypothesis is the correlation between the first by a kung fu girl or by a girl in a Chinese kung fu movie means something.
Means something.
Let's see.
You don't know what it means.
Let's see where this takes us. So I am charting it, and I'm going to put it in an Excel spreadsheet.
All right,
we'll,
all
Anyway, now back to the movie.
Really, really, you're losing me there.
So, anyway, so now she's. I don't think Dr. Morbius is into the data collecting.
No, not really. Okay. Anyway.
All right. So
keep going.
So now
we don't have much time.
They drive. We have plenty of time. Okay. Now they drive. when a movie has no plot, you can just say things about doing stuff. So exactly. So anyway, now they're kind of all dressed and they're very attractive and just wearing like random clothing. You know.
Yeah,
like,
they're very. Like, all of them they're five pretty young ladies.
Five pretty young ladies. And they're talking to this old guy, and they're like, Uncle, you're going to hear Uncle a lot. Uncle, let us try and solve this. Because he's boo-hooing over the lost money from the invisible guy. And you're you're like, what the hell are you talking about? Now, wait a second, because this is something that I was like, wait, what? He describes this. Then they go, oh, we'll help solve it. And they kind of run out of the thing. And you go back to the commissioner. This was entirely a flashback? Is that what I'm to believe? Because the guy was being interrogated by the cops, was talking about this. This entire thing happens. Then, like, minute 38, he goes, and that's how it happened. And the commissioner went, that's strange. And I was like, this was a flashback?
I missed that part.
I think the entire first half of this movie was a flashback, apparently.
Was it an acid flashback?
No. And I was like, wait, what? Okay. I literally was like, wait, what? So anyway, now the girl. So now the girls are on the case, and the uncle's like, okay, but you girls be careful when you're trying to solve this mystery.
And the guy, the scientist guy, like falls for the girls or whatever. Yeah. He gives them presents for thanking them. And he thanks them for it, and he gives them a present, and they all fall for him. And he's like, there's one scene where they're like, I don't know if he's supposed to meet one of them on the date, but they all go to like some.
This is the weirdest
like,
montage.
They start having these weird, like, you know, like they don't see him and they get mad and they start like dreaming stuff.
I figured it out because I was confused.
Oh, I'm glad you did.
I was sitting there like, what in the hell am I watching? I was confused. And the girls all kind of look the same, but they're not. I'm not saying all people look the same. These girls kind of all look the same. And I'm like, what am I watching here? And because every girl is sitting there at a bar. Looking around at people making out or on dates, then gets up and whips some of them smash something and leave. And I'm like, what is going on here? They all got stood up from other dates except the one who said she was going to stay in and ended up going and dating the scientist guy. So she came back and they were like kind of catfighting a little bit.
Because
she was the only one that actually had a date. Because they all said, we're going out on dates. You should come too. And she goes, nah, I'm all right. So they all went to their prospective dates.
And then
dates.
She called him, didn't she?
And then she's like, okay, I'll call him. Then she called him.
That's right.
Then they met on a date, so they came back and they were angry because their dates all stood them up. And I was like, that's the statistical probabilities of that are like none, but whatever. It's funny. This whole scene, I am like, what in the hell is going on here? It's like 12 minutes of just random shots at random places.
Meanwhile, this glorious... Early 70s funk. It's either like... I heard Barry White. There's one scene when they're in a club and a guy's doing I Gotcha by Joe Tex.
Yeah. Yeah. And then there was
and
like...
I'm like...
Then there was the Chinese or the Hong Kong version of James Brown. James Brown.
He's the guy who's doing. He's doing. I Gotcha. Okay. Then all of a sudden, they're doing like a cover, like a funk band's doing a cover of a Whole Lot of Love, and I'm going like, what? I gotta find this soundtrack, and then later on, the soundtrack is the most amazing thing I ever heard in my life. And then later on, another funk band's doing the cover of Stevie Wonder's "Living in the City," and I'm like, holy crap! This is the greatest thing I've ever heard in my life.
I would look under pending lawsuits because it was filed but never be able to serve because everyone disavowed this as soon as they were done with production.
Oh my god! I saw the cover art for a Spanish. Dubbed version of this movie, which now I need to talk to people. I gotta get my people.
You're like, I gotta get my squad goals. Hashtag squad goals. Gotta get this done. So, So
we're digressing all over the place.
Well, we have to because there's nothing here.
There's nothing, but there's a lot.
When I figured out what that was supposed to be, as disjointed as it was, I laughed. But like, I had just. It's like when you recover from like. You run really fast and you fall down because you're like, oh my god. And then when you finally get your breath back and you sit up, you're like, whew, okay, well, that's what happened. I went through the 12 minutes of whatever the hell this is supposed to be. And then I was like, oh, now I get it. Whew, okay, but now back to the movie. And then we get introduced, because now the invisible person starts showing up and like robbing people that are, it's almost like a Robin Hood situation where know you were stealing that money to buy a boat, so now I'm going to rob you. And it's like really bad floating gun, really bad floating money, because there's an invisible guy.
Yeah, yeah.
And it turns out, here's the plot, folks.
Spoiler alert.
Oh, wait. We're going to take a break. Try and think of your best James Brown, Chinese James Brown, and then we'll be right back. Now, we'll be back to wrap up this glorious...
Wrap it up.
Bruce Lee is gone, but his supreme style of fighting goes on and on in Goodbye, Bruce Lee, His Last Game of Death. Bruce Lee, he's more than a memory to his millions of brothers of all colors, and now he's back. Hear Kareem Abdul-Jabbar talk about the mysterious death of his close friend and teacher, Bruce Lee, and see exciting footage of Jabbar and Lee in actual martial arts competition. Goodbye, Bruce Lee, His Last Game of Death. Bruce Lee, the Muhammad Ali of martial arts, who fought his way from the ghettos of Hong Kong and San Francisco to become the most exciting fighting legend of our time. And now he's back. Terry Levine presents an Aquarius Films release. Goodbye, Bruce Lee, His Last Game of Death. Rated R, under 17, not admitted without parent.
How soon can you land?
I can't tell.
You can tell me I'm a doctor.
No, I mean I'm just not sure.
Well, can't you take a guess?
Well, not for another 2 hours.
You can't take a guess for another 2 hours?
Airplane 2, not so much.
Yeah, there is nothing I don't like about Airplane.
Airplane
the movie,
2, not so much.
Yeah, I didn't even care. I didn't even mind that one so much, but it was junk. Okay, so, back to the plot. Now, the underlying theme, the reason this movie is being, other than to show us five beautiful girls, is... Five beautiful kung fu...
Five pretty young ladies.
Five pretty young ladies. Other than that, there's an evil madam woman, like not a madam, like a... There's an evil lady who is an underground crime boss, kidnaps a scientist's mom and makes him give her the formula for invisibility, but he won't. So she's making him become invisible to do these crimes.
So she can rule the world!
So she can rule the world! And that's... The theory. That's what's going on here. Yes, and you're like, wait, what? And then, because every now and then, some random person puts on an aluminum foil suit and gets into some machine that goes beep, beep, boop, pop, beep, burp, invisible.
Yeah. Now, and they rob a bank.
He's not giving her the formula for invisibility, but he's doing these because she's holding the mom captive. And she's trying to get this out of him, but he knows as soon as he does, she'll just kill him.
Yeah.
So that's the plot. Other than just shenanigans.
But meanwhile...
What's that?
There's a time... In between all the plot and the shenanigans, they find time for a camping trip.
Well, that's when you just go to think. When you're out camping.
Yeah, reflection time.
There's a camping montage. It's not even a montage. It's just a scene, I guess. Where they're just, let's go camping. And it looks like it's just in a park in the city.
Yeah,
it's not like...
It's like a travelogue. They show you the beautiful mountains and the little girls.
I was like, wait, what? What are we doing here?
And then when they get to the destination, it's like Asian camping party or whatever. Everybody's dancing.
Oh, yeah, they're hooting.
It's a big time. And then she breaks out her acoustic and she attempts to play the guitar, which I don't know if she was really playing it or not, and sings a song.
It made me laugh. It made me think of that part of Kentucky Fried Movie. And then I play love songs on my guitar. I guess he kills her right then, you know.
Yeah, right.
But he didn't come and kill her then.
And then it breaks
into a kung fu
fight. It disintegrates into a kung fu battle.
Which, that's great. This movie almost didn't have enough kung fu. But they couldn't because there was
only one person.
It needed
a little more. But
there was only one person that knew.
There was only one person that was a badass. And there was Polly Kwan.
The boys, the guys that were in it didn't know kung fu. The girls didn't know it. Just her. She literally was the only one in this movie.
Good for her.
Yeah. So they beat them up, And I forget if they get some information out of somebody or not. I don't even remember.
Like, and then at the last, in the last part of the movie, they go back to Uncle, and all of a sudden they come out with their black, little mini skirt jumpsuits, which, you know, are awesomeness.
Yes.
Which I'm surprised that somebody with the initials of QT hasn't ripped off yet. I'm really surprised he hasn't. There's still a Kill Bill 3 coming soon.
No, I don't think so.
Okay.
Now it's kind of end scene. The guy gets caught. Oh, no, wait. There's a moon rock. Oh, my God.
The moon rock thing. They want to steal the moon rock.
The moon rock is also the key to this invisibility. So this lady wants that, so she makes him go. And they do this elaborate, it looks like Coyote and Roadrunner, where, they're hiding to trap him. And he comes in, and they trap him with a net. And all these weird sounds and all this stuff, and they're hanging in like those girl stripper cages.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like if you go into one of those really go-go places and there's a girl dancing in a cage, that's where these girls are sitting. You're like, wait, what? But then there was one or two that were just kind of around. So they capture him. He tells the whole story, and he's crying, and he's like, I don't want to be this guy. I'm a good guy. I'm
a scientist. They capture a scientist kid. Yeah.
Now they're like, oh, we get it.
So where is it at? So he tells him. So then Polly goes and presents. She goes to the place pretending she's like a blind masseuse.
She's a blind masseuse. You're like, wait.
Can this get even weirder?
No. The answer is no. Unless she was carrying a monkey. Like that monkey from Indiana Jones, the one that died from the poison date.
If he
would have been on her shoulder, slightly weirder. That's a slightly weirder.
Yeah, right.
So she goes in and he's like, I'm the blind masseuse. And they're like, we didn't order one, but whatever, you're here. So the guy just gets him and is like, massage me. So she's doing that. And first she grabs him and he goes, ah, not so hard. Like she grabs the guy and wrenches down on him. But then they're like, oh, boss, the cops hit our other warehouse, because they show this pointless montage of cops running around and the guy's like, meh, meh, meh. And then they're like, oh, well, let's just go kill that lady now. So she's like, okay. But then the one dopier henchman goes, boss, you got yours. I'm going to get my massage. And he's like, you're an idiot. And then he's like, okay, well, I'm gone anyway. So then she breaks his neck. And they didn't really show any deaths. This wasn't
it wasn't gory or anything.
This wasn't a kill crazy kung fu movie, which I kind of like.
Comedy.
It was. This was just a straight up kind of comedy.
Kung fu comedy, whatever.
Yeah. So she just comes flying out of nowhere she changes and just starts whipping people. And they're like, oh, wait, you're not a blind masseuse at all. You're that lady that beats up everyone all the time.
Everybody in Taiwan.
So they start going, and then all of a sudden the other four lovely gals come traipsing out. And this cracked me up. I don't know if you noticed this or not. Did you see during this elaborate fight scene, because this is kind of like the end scene, you know, the fight's happening, the head bad guy's directing all his cronies at these girls to try and get away. He has the mother in tow. She's the only one. Everyone else is wearing stripper boots. Not her.
No, she's... you're right.
She had the stripper boots with flat bottoms because...
She got a kick.
She has to kick, and she
wants to fight.
She's like, I'm not turning an ankle for this dumbass movie.
Yeah, she can do it with high heels.
She probably could have, actually, but there's no reason. Don't hurt your one asset of this movie.
Right, yeah.
So she was the only one... Like, they looked the same, but when you looked at the heels... There are no heels on that. She was running around kicking people.
Good for her.
Yeah, good for her is right.
So they finally get to Miss Evil, you know, and then they corner her, and she's like, well, give me, I've got his mother here. They saved him. They end up saving the mother.
But she runs off and becomes invisible.
But she runs off, and she says, if you come and get me, I've got a belt of dynamite.
Yeah, no. She runs away and becomes invisible. Then they chase her down. Then the scientist now has a ray to reverse the process.
Yeah.
And she's cornered in this bank vault, and she's like, ha ha, suicide bomber.
Yeah.
Bam, out of nowhere, belt
That's right,
of dynamite.
Suicide bomber, yeah.
So then you're like, wait, what? And then,
she turns invisible.
This part is crazy because she's visible.
Crazy.
Now she's like, don't follow me. And they're like, okay, we won't, wink. And then she runs. And she runs to the beach.
Waiting
for a boat. And then they're like, oh, wait. And then they throw this boomerang thing and grab the radium or the moon rock the moon rock, and pull it away. And she's like, oh, no.
And she falls. And then everything.
This,
And she blows up, and you see, like, her wig go up in the air.
It was like, this is the worst I've ever seen. Like, right now, with what I have in this studio, we could recreate that better right now in the yard and be like more convincing.
But we didn't, did we? But they did.
Good point. I'm a lazy guy. Right.
They did it.
They
in 1976.
It is like the most hilarious, like, whatever. So, and then they show like a little hand with a little bit of blood, like just slightly moving it. And then he dies. And then the guy's like, well, huh. And then flash forward, these saucy gals come up, oh, uncle. And they're like hugging and kissing on him. And then they're like, we'll be back next year for more adventures. We're going to school now. And you're like, wait, are they supposed to be schoolgirl? What is this? And then like, and they're all dressed really fabulously. They're very well dressed.
Yeah, yeah.
And then they left, and the end, man. I'm like, what?
I can't even. I won't even give this movie a rating because this is. You have to see this to believe it.
There is more huhs per square inch than any other movie.
You have to see this to believe it. It's on YouTube.
Oh my god! I was originally going to give this a zero.
You can't.
Can't do that.
You can't.
She's a good martial artist. The main girl is a very good martial artist. I don't care. In any arena, I would put her up as like, yeah, you know, if her and Cheng Pei Pei would have done a girl revenge thing, would have been glorious.
Yeah.
So
I'm going to get rated enjoyable. Ooh. An enjoyable mess.
See, now this one hurt me. I
this hurt you, but you're laughing. And you
well,
remember
I'm laughing
all the
now,
scenes.
But this hurt, man. This is a rough movie to get through. I was going to say 3 or 4. I'll go with a 4. I know that sounds low. It was a strange movie. There was no. I contend it wasn't a movie, but it was a thing.
It was a thing.
So
it was enjoyable.
All right, that's it for this week. My name's Mal with me as always.
Dr. Morbius.
We'll see you next week for more Kung Fu Shenanigans.